Voyage Guide to the Galaxy podcast. The official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. We talk about Star Wars.
Fanboy style.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Welcome to episode 11 of Fanboy's Guide to the Galaxy. I'm your host, Ryan Zasso, and here's my co-host, Eric Boggs.
Hello there.
And this week we'll be talking about the third Robot Chicken Star Wars special, another Family Guy Return of the Jedi special, some more C5 updates, Christopher Nolan inspired by Star Wars, Star Wars Trench Run, it's the music and sounds of the Old Republic.
As you wish.
I don't work for free.
He's no good to me, dead.
I make the rules now.
What if he doesn't survive? He's worth a lot to me.
The Robot Chicken 3 episode, and tell us about it, Eric.
I think this one sounds like the best one yet, because the other ones are just sort of parodies of clips, but this one's going to actually be like the story from start to finish. So yeah, this one's going to be pretty cool, I think. And then the voices will be Zac Efron as Anakin Skywalker, Anthony Daniels as C-3PO, Mike Henry, he's Cleveland in Family Guy, in the Cleveland show, and Donald Glover. It doesn't say who they're going to be. Mike Henry is R2-D2, of course. I forgot. Billy Dee Williams will be in it. That's awesome.
That's good.
Ahmed Best as Jar Jar Binks. And then, of course, Seth Green, Matthew Cenric, Breckenmeyer, Seth MacFarlane, all the original Robot Chicken guys.
Yep.
And this will air on TV December 12th.
So, it's in December, so it's going to be a Christmas time thing. And wasn't the third Family Guy special in December?
It's released on DVD in December, but it's not on TV until, I think, May of next year.
Uh-huh.
And the second Family Guy Star Wars special came out last December, too, so I think this is going to be a...
So December's going to be pretty much your month for a Star Wars comedy. Because you're going to have both the Return of the Jedi spoof from Family Guy, and you're going to have this. And so that brings us into our next story of the Family Guy Return of the Jedi. The trilogy is now complete. Family Guy's popular series of Star Wars parodies, The Empire Strikes Back installment, was the number 3 best-selling Blu-ray release of 2009. And goes for the intergalactic trifecta with a spoof of Return of the Jedi. As you can tell by TV Guide Magazine's exclusive first look at the poster art, it is still untitled and the project remains its faithful tone. You can, of course, count on the merciless fanboy skewing of the Ewok-centered film. Seth MacFarlane and company are back along with several guest voices, including semi-regulars Adam West and Carrie Fisher, Rush Limbaugh as the Sarlacc Pit Monster, Patrick Stewart and Michael Dorn in a Star Trek Next Generation riff, and the DVD goes on sale December 21st on DVD and Blu-ray. And, it said that on this article from TV Guide Magazine that it's not named yet, but isn't it named?
Yeah, I think it's called We Had a Bad Feeling About This.
Yeah. So, it just says that it's untitled on here.
Yeah, but this poster is pretty cool, I think. It's pretty faithful to the poster art from the Return of the Jedi poster. But, if you look closely, you can see that Joe will be Jabba the Hutt, and then I think it's the bear from the Cleveland show is Wicket.
Stop that ship! Blast him!
Yahoo! It's a trap!
I got him!
That thing's operational!
Step into a larger world.
There have been a lot of celebrations live updates this past week. more than we could handle, so we'll just cover the two that we thought were really cool.
Yeah.
Gary Kurtz and Randy Martinez, and of course, probably the biggest announcement yet, I think, besides George Lucas, was Mark Hamill.
Yeah, and he will actually be signing autographs there, but it's going to cost you, is it like $150 or something?
Yeah, so if you have enough money and you're a big Luke Skywalker fan, don't pass this up.
Yeah. But even if you can't get an autograph, I'm sure that you can just go up there, even get a picture with him or something. But I would not pass up a chance to go meet Mark Hamill. So, I mean, even if you're not buying an autograph, you can still go up there and talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get a picture with him, people will know that you at least talk to him.
Yeah. So, and then Gary Kurtz. Will Gary Kurtz be signing autographs?
I believe so. He, as everybody should know, he was the producer on all of the original trilogy films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, does it say how much he's going to be selling his autograph for?
I didn't check.
Okay.
You can find all this on StarWarsCelebration.com.
Send your emails and commentaries to GalaxyFanboy@Yahoo.com.
I'm trying to reach Lando Calrissian.
Ichuta. Christopher Nolan, inspired by Star Wars. Christopher Nolan, of course, is the director of Inception or The Dark Knight. And he has revealed that he was inspired to become a director after watching Star Wars. The Inception director told MTV News that seeing the sci-fi film in 1977 informed his perspective on filmmaking and continues to affect him today. That completely changed movies for me. It changed everything, really, he said. It created a world that lived on in your mind, and after you saw the film, it seemed to have this limitless potential. So, this really isn't new to me that he was a fan of Star Wars, because when we had
Colin... Anyway, the Empire Strikes Back screening, but still, it's great for him to come out and say it, though.
Yeah. Because I remember that Kyle Newman, when we had him on here, he said that Christopher Nolan was there.
But, yeah, it's no surprise that almost three of the greatest directors were all inspired by Star Wars.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams, Christopher Nolan, and James Cameron. I mean, James Cameron's kind of it's kind of mean, but
yeah.
He makes good movies, except for Avatar wasn't as great as his others, I didn't think.
Yeah, not as good as Aliens.
Or Terminator.
Yeah. Alright, well, let's move on to Trench Run.
Alright, so the Trench Run for the iPhone and the iPod Touch is was updated a few days ago, and this time you can plug in your iPod into your computer and use it as a controller, and it also has added a new level where you play as Han Solo on the Death Star Trench Run. Wasn't like show Han Solo, but you know you're him and the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Solo and Chewie.
So, is this for, like, the iPod Touch or the iPhone?
Yeah, it's for both of those, but you plug it in and then you go to StarWars.com and you can use it as a controller. Because I believe the game is also on StarWars.com either way, but if you have an iPod or an iPod Touch, you can plug it in to your computer and use it as a controller.
Yeah, I don't have an iPod Touch or an iPhone, so when the original Trench Run game came out, I played it on StarWars.com, and it worked okay. So, but it's definitely cool that they're updating this. Maybe they'll actually go into like some more other battles or something, or maybe they'll even have one where you're Darth Vader, like in his TIE fighter, and he has to take down all the other X-wings in the trench.
Obi-Wan, use the Force, Luke. Don't give in to hate. That leads to the dark side.
You must learn the ways of the Force.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
He's more machine now than man. Whisper.
Taking your first step into a larger world.
This is probably my favorite story today. It's the sounds and music of the Old Republic. And it basically gives you some insight into the music that they're going to have, which it's some pretty incredible music. I think that they're going to have multiple composers on this, because they interviewed quite a bit of them. I know there's two that I recognize immediately, which is Jesse Harlan, who composed the music for the original Knights of the Old Republic game, and the Republic Commando game, if I'm not mistaken. Mark Griske, who composed the music for the Force Unleashed and the second Knights of the Old Republic game. So I think that there's going to be multiple composers on this, and that each composer will have their own style that for this universe, which I think is awesome. They said that there's going to be about 5.5 hours of original music. So, in addition to the music that's from John Williams, that they're also going to be putting in there. And when you're watching the video, it actually shows more stuff from the universe of the Old Republic, and I actually like it better than some of the other developer dispatch videos that they've shown, where it's not just combat or just characters. I mean, it just shows the universe for their locations and characters and stuff like that. So, it's definitely a video worth checking out. We'll play the audio on here.
This is without a doubt the biggest music project I've ever worked on. The game is shipping with 5.5 hours of original music, which in and of itself is gigantic. Then, in addition to that, we're also including the music from the original KOTORs and then music from John Williams' films.
When it comes to the music of Star Wars, you of course have to bow to John Williams. He basically created the emotional landscape of Star Wars. What's really amazing is that the composers, they really stepped up to the plate.
It's always a challenge to compose music for the Star Wars franchise, just because the audience expectation is very high. There's a very established sound that we've tried to continue throughout the original music for the games.
You can see a scene unfold that's got no characters in it. Is there a threat associated with that landscape? The music tells you. So in the Old Republic, the music leads the experience, always, emotionally.
We're stepping into a classic here, and we're something that's already been going on for 30 years. How can we become a great part of it?
This is the same universe, but way earlier than anyone's touched it. We needed to be able to play in that same space, but it needed an all-new set of vocabulary for the Old Republic.
The Old Republic was full orchestra, full-on romantic-sized orchestra, so it's big. I think we probably had 8 stands, so 16 first violins, 14 second violins. So it's like a palace for a painter and colors. The more people you have, the more instruments you have, the more colors you've got.
Composing music, there's this visceral experience of you know, what chord and what melodic progression seems to just match the vibe of this planet or this character or the story.
I'll read as much as I can about what the player will actually be doing and how he would feel, and just try to kind of lose myself in the world, you know, look at the art and all of the concepts and all of the story writing, and there's plenty of story writing, more than I could possibly ever need, but it's all there, and I just kind of lost myself in the world and just imagined what would things sound like.
this is all sight reading, basically. You come in, nobody's seen the music before. You're hiring great composers who know how to write for the instrument, they know how to write for the orchestra, and they can write some viciously difficult, fast, lickety-split, full-on, using all the techniques you could. And you have to be able to sit down, open the music, go, okay, and just read it down. Because they're rolling, they're recording all the time.
We were flipping a lot of pages very quickly. And what it does is it gives us a lot of excitement about the project. It makes us draw deep and stay very engaged. And, you know, it just keeps us fascinated.
When it comes to choral music, there's something about it, I think, that really just goes right to someone's heart.
It's a Star Wars soundtrack, and everyone knows this Star Wars theme. Everyone knows that one. Everyone knows what the beginning of Tatooine sounded like. So I do like to leave a little bit of an impression for each world that I work on so that the player can take something away with them. They can remember that's what this planet sounded like.
Music is part of the gameplay experience, makes it more personal for the player because it's really that method of tapping into the player's subconscious. You know, you're going through actions in a game, running around, fighting, completing quests. But the real meaning behind that, you know, at least emotionally, comes from the music.
Music is such a funny discipline because if you do it right, you hope that people don't really notice it. If we do everything correctly, people will play the game, feel like they're having this great Star Wars experience, feel like the worlds are really rich, and feel like the storyline is extremely emotional, but they won't exactly be sitting there saying, oh hey, I really loved that action cue back on Ord Mantell. You just want it to be felt. The results are, I think, the best score we have ever made for a game. We've really achieved something really special here.
Alright, well that's going to wrap up your show for this week. It's going to be a lot to edit. You can find us on Facebook. We are having a contest. I think we decided on the most recent Clone Wars book, Gambit Stealth, which just came out like last week, I think. And if we get 100 fans on our Facebook page, we'll give away a copy of it. And Yeah, so we're already at 41 fans. So if you just add like one or two more people, like invite them, then we'll be there in no time. So
yep.
So you can also email us at galaxyfanboy@yahoo.com. Send in your thoughts and anything else.
I don't think so.
Alright. See ya.
Alright. See ya.
Podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. It's intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and character, or any other Star Wars-related items are the registered trademarks of Lucasfilm or the respective trademark or copyright holders.